All right, let's move on now and talk about an important case in New York that could determine the future of the daily fantasy sports industry. New York's attorney general calls it gambling and ordered DraftKings, which is based here in Boston, and FanDuel to stop accepting bets in his state. Today, the two companies made their case in front of a judge that they are games of skill rather than chance and that they're legal. On Wednesdays, we usually talk about the world of sports with Bill Littlefield, but on today, the day before Thanksgiving, we've got a pinch hitter, Shira Springer, investigative reporter for the sports section of the Boston Globe. And Shira, great to have you back.
Great to be here.
So let's start with this story about fantasy sports. So the New York Attorney General sought an injunction barring New York residents from playing on the sites. The federal judge has concluded the hearing today and is expected to rule in the next 1 or 2 weeks. So this means DraftKings and FanDuel can keep operating for now. What's your take on where this case stands right now, Shira?
Well, this is going to be an argument that I think is going to, you know, which is the skill versus the gambling thing. And I think it's just going to go in circles, quite frankly. I think, you know, whatever the judge decides, whether he decides to side with the daily fantasy providers and say, yes, it is, you know, a skill game, or whether he decides to say it's gambling, people are going to appeal and it's going to go on and on and on. And quite frankly, I think that the New York approach of trying to ban this and fight the skill definition is not the way to go. I much prefer the direction that the Mass Attorney General is going in, Maura Healey. I think she has the right idea by trying to kind of provide some regulations for what daily fantasy does.
And yeah, she wants to do a few things, right? She wants to put age limits that would ban players younger than 21 years old, $1,000 deposit limit, these sorts of things, things to essentially protect the consumer.
Exactly. I mean, that's the upshot of what she's trying to do, to prevent, you know, basically sophisticated contestants, those who develop algorithms and have spreadsheets and are essentially professional players, from dominating the game. There was some statistics that came out, and they basically said that 80 or 90% of the big money, the million-dollar checks and everything that you see awarded and that both DraftKings and FanDuel promote, they said that, you know, that's won by a small fraction of the players, maybe 1 or 2%, whereas 80 to 90% of the players, you know, are kind of losing money most of the time.
You know, I want to move on to some other sports news, but I want to ask you this, because I've been puzzling over this in my mind. This very basic question, is it a game of skill or of chance? And, you know, a while back we spoke to Dan Okrent. He's the former public editor for the New York Times, and he was the inventor of the original idea of fantasy sports. He came up with the whole idea of rotisserie baseball leagues way back when. And I asked him, is it a game of skill or a game of chance? And he just said, are you kidding me? This is such a game of chance. It's got nothing to do with skill. But then lately I've been hearing these stories about people who make, you know, big six-figure salaries, essentially, from playing it because they really know what they're doing. And it makes me think, no, well, maybe this is a game of skill.
That's why I think it's going to keep going in circles, this legal argument, because it's really hard to determine. And I'll tell you, you know, I've talked to the DraftKings CEO, Jason Robbins, and he said, listen, I'll provide you data that we keep that shows the more players play, the more they improve. So they have a whole collection of data and metrics that goes back, I think, years that they're planning to put forward and say, listen, this clearly shows this is a skill game. Watch how player A improves. Watch how player B improves after they've played 10 games, after they played 12 games. That's why I think New York is in a lot of trouble pursuing this type of legal action, where I think Maura Healey is right with the regulation approach.
Mm. Sure, I want to move on and talk a little bit about the New England Patriots. They beat the Bills at Foxborough on Sunday. They're now 10-0, They beat the Bills at Foxborough on Monday. But the game had all kinds of mistakes and penalties and injuries, turnovers, including two fumbles, a missed field goal by New England, and an inadvertent referee whistle in the third quarter. But the team is 10-0. Here's Tom Brady after Monday's game at Foxborough.
Yeah, we lost a lot of guys, and we've lost quite a few guys over the last 3 weeks. So I think we'll just keep fighting and figure out a way to win. And it's good to win against a good defense. No, we lost Danny during the game. We lost Dobson during the game. And we were down to two healthy receivers. So it's, you know, you get pretty limited quickly in the things that you can do.
So the Pats move on to Denver on Sunday. Shear, are there players, are there enough players essentially to keep going? What do you think? Dan Shaughnessy calls it the survival tour.
Yeah, that's a good name for it. Well, I think the key isn't whether, oddly enough, there are enough players, but what Bill Belichick comes up with, because mm-hmm. this is really where Bill Belichick shines as a coach. He can take whatever he has and make the best of it, and more than that, keep winning. And the latest I'm hearing with Danny Amendola, who Tom Brady mentioned in that clip there, is that it's a minor injury, it's a sprained knee, it's week to week, so it's not a lengthy loss, so at least they'll get somebody's back in their receiving core, and Brady will have somebody to throw to.
Sure. So Carolina is also 10-0. Both teams have a chance to clinch playoff spots as early as next week. Do you think either team will get there this weekend? And do you think we could have a Panthers-Pats Super Bowl?
That's a strong possibility. But, yeah, I think they may, just the way the rest of the league is going. I mean, they seem to be on a roll, and all these other teams are up and down, up and down. But I sort of feel sorry for the Panthers because they are the other undefeated team in the league, and they seem to get no respect or at least no media attention. There's not a lot of buzz around it. I don't know. Maybe it's just, you know, Cam Newton just keeps going, and it's not a very interesting story to people, whereas the Patriots and coming back from Deflategate and the revenge of Tom Brady and the injuries is more intriguing. But, you know, people should start paying, at least maybe it's in New England, paying more attention to exactly how the Panthers are achieving, because they may see them down the road.
All right. Well, that's Shira Springer. She's an investigative reporter for the sports section of the Boston Globe. She joins us pretty often here on Radio Boston. Shira, great to have you on. Have a great Thanksgiving, and thanks.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving.
All right, listeners, stay with us. There's more ahead. Coming up, why do Massachusetts turkeys like to hang out so much in the city? There's an interesting story behind that question. I'm Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.